Got a great group of speakers for you this morning. I just found out that they formed like some sort of unit gang while they were together in Budapest, and they managed to be put on the schedule on the same day. So those things happen sometime. But they're ministering in different parts of the world now. First, Pastor Chris Armin from Malawi.
Loyalty, huh? Wow. No, great to be here. Great to see all of you. My name is Pastor Chris Armin, and I'm in Malawi, which is in southern Central Africa. I know somewhere spread out here, if we could have everyone on Team Malawi just stand up. My father and mother are here, my wife. That's... we have a wonderful family and team, and like Pastor Steve said, all of us together, Pastor Mihai, Pastor Chaba, and myself, were all living in Hungary at one point in time, and we have a special crime syndicate. That's why we were able to get to speak together. We organized it. Let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 21. I love the theme of the conference. So special to me, especially, and these verses I thought of as I was listening to the messages and just being overwhelmed sometimes and blessed at the same time, and thinking of our year that we had in Malawi this year was an incredible time, a great year. God gave us a lot of fruit, but also there was we lost some of our precious brethren this year, so it was a little bit of both things, and these verses came to my mind. Let's pray. Father, bless these words and encourage us and help us and edify us, Lord, and build us, we pray in your precious name, amen. I personally love to find verses that are maybe abstract or obscure, and I love to find humor in the Bible, and I think God has a great sense of humor. But as you read this verse, Matthew 21:42, Jesus said to them, "Did you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone which the builder rejected, the same has become the head of the corner'? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to the nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof." And then this verse 44 is the one that really touched me. "And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." I thought, wow, what does that mean? And I think this is like us. Christ is our foundation. And in the pastor's meeting today, Pastor Shibeli mentioned, sometimes as we go as maybe missionaries, or if you have a ministry, wherever we are, you may think, I'm going out to do such and such. I'm going out to do this work. But really, we are God's mission field. The first thing that we must realize is that God wants to minister to us. We are God's mission field. And sometimes we can lose track of this on the mission field. Sometimes we can lose track of it in our daily lives, that we have to live up to something. And God says, no, I'm here to love you. The first thing you should do is just to be loved by God. And I think of it in this way, that God says that if you fall upon this rock, you'll be broken. And sometimes in life, we try different things. We try to do things for God, and we realize that we are incapable of doing those things. And eventually, that's the place where God wants us. He wants to get us to that place where we can just fall on Him. We can just fall on Him and rest in Him. And the other option of that, it says, if that rock will fall on someone, it will grind him to powder. And I think of this as maybe the world system, as what Pastor Bamuni said. People in the world are looking for different rocks, but they don't find anything there. And they will look for something as an answer to their life, but really it turns into powder. And this is what Daniel prophesied in Daniel chapter 2, verse 35, when he talked about that big image, which was the image of all the world system, the gold head, the silver, the bronze, the iron. And then he said, I saw a rock that was taken like a mountain, and that mountain came and fell on that image and turned it into dust. And this is what we see, that we have Christ himself that says, I want to be a friend to you that sticks closer than a brother. And if you'll just rest in me and fall on me, then you'll be satisfied. You can rest in my arms. Every other answer out in the world today, it will turn into powder. It will just be blown away. There's no substance. It turns into sand. They think it's a rock, but the real rock, Christ, falls on that answer and grinds it to powder. And we were talking last night at the wrap and just thinking about what people think, you know, is a rock in their life. They think maybe technology is a rock in their life. But what does that technology do when someone has a cancer? They have cancer. Where does that technology take them? There's no answer for that. But we have an answer. We have a rock. And we just simply fall into his arms, and he loves us. And I think the same thing happened with Mary. She fell at the feet of Jesus, and she just washed his feet with her tears. She was touched. Amen? She was touched, and she found the answer in her life. She found Christ, and she was touched, and she fell on him and just was so thankful. Her life was changed, and she just served. And this is what we look for in the mission field, that, you know, we get into places. And I remember one instance when we went to Malawi. It was in the first year that we were there. And, you know, things are different. We have the Motor Vehicle Administration here, and, you know, we complain about it. I sat 3 hours at the MVA waiting for my registration. Like, try 3 days to register our vehicle. We had to go back and forth for 3 days, and everything takes time. And then to find out that, you know, there's a problem, you have to pay more than what you paid for the vehicle. You have to pay in taxes. And you say, wow, this is overwhelming. And, you know, we don't have that. How are we going to manage? We're just new in this country. We're strangers. We don't know what we're doing. And God gave that verse, Psalm 61:5, which we've heard. When we are overwhelmed, lead me to a rock that's higher than I. And we fall on that rock. And we realize, wow, I don't want to just be doing the work of a missionary. I want to have a relationship. I want to fall on Christ. I want him to be that friend that sticks closer than a brother. I want to get to know him in this situation. And he found a way of escape. In that story, we found a way of escape. We went to the head person, and I brought my two daughters and let them run around the MVA, and they started to feel sorry and say, wow, let's take care of this guy. His kids are going to destroy everything. That was wisdom, you know? That was wisdom God gave me. Bring your kids there. And the head of the MVA was a woman, and she just, you know, my kids, I trained them, you know, greet this lady, call her auntie. And they said, hi, auntie. Our father's a missionary. We're here. And they said, oh, we're going to do whatever we can to make this easy for you. And I said, wow, thank you, Lord. I'm just going to fall on you. And we'll be broken. You know, we'll be broken. Our hearts are broken. We are broken for the lost. It's not, we take our self life to the cross. It's broken. And we really meet Christ there. And that's who we have as our rock. We have the immovable, unshakable Jesus Christ. And that's in the ministry, that's who we want to find. We don't want to just find him for our salvation, but in the ministry, as we minister to people, our source is Christ, and we get to know him like that. We get to know him as that dear friend. And that's what we're going through in Malawi. And we thank you for your prayers and your love. And just thinking of us, it's amazing. And we love you too. Amen.
All right, take a moment and just share a thought or two. Have you been ground to powder? Have you tripped over the rock and fallen on your face? Yeah, just share a couple thoughts for a moment here before we get Pastor Michal up here. All right, our next speaker comes to us from Brașov, Romania. We just love his heart and his way with the Word of God. Pastor Michal.
Good morning. Good evening to the precious people from Romania watching. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Please continue to speak to us. Use me now. These words touch our hearts. Thank you. Amen. Let's open and read the verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We kind of understand that our life is a life of strength, and we have strength from the Lord. We have power from the Lord. And we know that the kingdom of God is the most powerful thing in the universe, because not even death can overcome the kingdom of God. Not even hell can do anything against the kingdom of God. So we understand that Christian life is a life of power and strength, rock solid. And we all want to walk in that power, to function in that strength and to discover it, because that is important for us. And yeah, we want to know it, and where and what is important for us, that is also our treasure. And where our treasure is, that is where our heart is. So in this material world, we have air, that's a gas, and you can move your hand through it very easily. Then we have liquids. And then what do we have after liquids? We have solids, like rocks. So what comes after solid? You know, you have gas, liquid, solid. What's stronger than a solid? What's more firm? And what has... It should be there, like the power of God. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25, for the madness of God is wiser than people, and the weakness of God is stronger than people. So I always thought that this verse speaks about God like he's like a football team, and in his worst moments, he's better than us. Like that means he's the weakness of God. But actually, this verse in the context means that the wisdom of God, people don't understand it, and then they look at it and they think this is foolish. And the strength of God, people look at it and they don't recognize it. For the flesh of people, the strength of God is weakness. It's not something they desire. And that's why they rejected the rock, which was Jesus Christ. So after all the weakness in the world and then all the strength in the world, what's next? It comes the weakness of God, which is where God invites us to live in. But that is actually powerful. Because if we look at our natural, if we look at us, we want to be strong for the Lord, but my life actually that is not like a rock. My life is more like water. There's nothing solid in my life or my faith or my promises for God or what is there solid in my life. Or I would say rather it's more like mud. Or I could say some other substances, but let's not go into details. What is there solid in my life? The only thing that is solid in my life is the grace of God. That's the rock in my life. That's the only thing solid. That's the only thing powerful. It's what Jesus did in my life. It's not, there's nothing about me. In a new amusement park, I saw on, if there is a small lake, I saw that you can lock people in an air balloon and they try to walk on water and they cannot. Have you seen that? So the miracle of Peter walking on water was not that only that he didn't sink, was that he could find balance and he could also project his body forward. Like he could, that water was very solid under his feet. And yet for people it was only water. Like, what can we do with water? But this is what God does in our lives. He is teaching us that the the strong things, the powerful things in the kingdom of God, they are beyond the natural things and the natural power of human beings. And actually you discover them when human strength fails. And that's why Peter was trying to be a rock. Maybe because Jesus called him rock. So that's what Peter means. And he was trying to be rock solid. But then Jesus taught him, there is something rock solid in your life. And you will find that after you will fail. When you will return, strengthen the brothers. Because actually what is rock solid in your life is the grace of God. It's not you and your faithfulness and how much you love God and how devoted you are for God and that you will go and follow Jesus even into the death. That's water, mud, and other things. But when you will come back, you will discover that I still love you. And that is the rock. You will discover that nothing changed. Like in me, Jesus says, I am the rock. Nothing. Your failure did not change me. And that is the rock. And that is why you can come to the rock. You find something solid. All the gods of this world are limited to the natural power and strength. They don't accept failure. You have to be there on top of the strength. You have to be devoted and faithful. These gods, they don't accept failure and submission. They don't give you liberty, and they cannot be weak, and they cannot accept another opinion. And you find these trends in theology. But our God, He is beyond these things. He gives us freedom. We can make our decisions. And He still is the rock. Nothing changes. In the world, kings look for power. What is the greatest power in the world? Is that nobody would take your life from you. Is there anything more powerful than that? I don't know, maybe to live longer, but that doesn't exist. To have money, more money. What for? I mean, what how powerful can you be in the world? But Jesus says, my power is beyond that. How? How? Well, it's like this. I have the freedom to give my life and then to take it back. That's resurrection. That is more powerful than the power of kings in the world that try not to have their life taken. Love goes beyond all the natural strength and goes into that place where there is the power of God. Because love says, I'll come with you wherever you go, whether it is to live or whether it is to die. I'll be with you because I love you. And that is more powerful in our lives. And God is inviting us to discover these more powerful things. Like with my son, this is a powerful thing that is beyond natural strength. Daddy loves you. Daddy loves you. That's our relationship. That's the strength. Because he will fail me, but more than he will fail me, I will fail him. We are like water. But even though we are like water and we will fail, we don't live into that, but in the more powerful things, which is, I love you. Forgive me. I love you. And that is the rock. And people despise that strength. People say, no, no, you should not fail. That is the strength. That is the rock. You should not fail. You should be good. But we have a strength beyond the natural strength. How is, like, what do people have to tell for marriages? Like ways that you would succeed and not fail. But we have a power that is beyond that natural strength, which is that we forgive each other, we love each other. It's the things of God, and we live on the rock. And the same is with body life. What is the strength of body life? Why are we together here? Because we understand each other so well, because we try not to sin against each other. That would be only natural strength. That would be you go from gas to liquid to solid, rock, steel, carbon fiber, whatever is the best material there. Let's be the strongest church. But we have a power that comes from the kingdom of God, which is beyond that. We are like water. Maybe we are like gas. I don't know. But the strength of God, it is His grace. And that is our strength. That is where we live. That is why we are together and we love each other. Because of the grace of God. Not because we like each other. Jesus said that so very natural to like each other. But to love, which comes from His grace. Amen.
All right, that's Joyce and Jessica Salas from Marlboro, Massachusetts. Would you stand and give a big hand to the band? That's all they want to be known as, the band. All right, our next speaker comes from Szeged, Hungary, and has a great ministry in the Word there, Pastor Csaba.
Great. Good morning. Wow. What rich portions we have this week. This is like a celebration that we have, isn't it? And great theme, Built Upon the Rock. So I just want to share something about that and something about the covenant that God made with us. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are just so thankful to enjoy your presence, to be brought into your presence by grace and your Holy Spirit. And we ask that you would keep on speaking to our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. The fifth book of Moses, 32:4 says, Moses says that he is the rock. He is the rock. God is the rock. And I was thinking how, you know, as we hear these portions, how I need the rock. Emotionally, I need the rock. How about you? Like emotionally and also mentally. Sometimes mentally, you know, I'm pretty, ill. And I need the rock. I need something solid, something immovable. And also volitionally, you know, in my decisions, and I just need the rock. We need the rock. And he is the rock. And we are this week boasting in the rock, aren't we? Like we are not boasting in ourselves, but we are boasting in Jesus Christ in the rock. And we are built on him. We became part of the rock, kind of like it's really built on him, like we became one with the rock. Like Jesus is saying, like, I am in you and you are in me. And these words are awesome. It means that we cannot be separated from him forever. And that's what covenant means. Actually, covenant means that two parties, they cannot be separated anymore. It's like marriage's covenant, of course, like the two become one, and they are not two anymore, but they are one, and they cannot be separated. But it's like a little picture of really of the gospel, and it's a little picture what God has made in Jesus Christ, that the believer and God cannot be separated, that the church and Jesus Christ cannot be separated anymore. And we see this, like, we see many covenants in the Bible, but one is in Genesis 15, where God says to Abraham that I will make a covenant with you, so bring the sacrifice, the animals, and cut the animals in half and put them on the two sides. And actually in the Hebrew, to make a covenant, it means to cut a covenant. And the parties had to go between the animals, and this whole process means that the covenant is through death. It's through death. We enter into the covenant by death. We walk through death. It means death. By death we enter into covenant. Like this is what happened when God came in Jesus Christ and he died on the cross. That through death we enter into the covenant. But also not just by his death, but by our death. Because that's in Romans 6, 3. It says that, do you not know that those who were baptized in Christ, they are baptized in his death. We died when we believed in died. This is what the baptism symbolizes, actually. It happened when we believed in Christ, but baptism symbolizes that we died with Jesus Christ, and we entered into covenant by death, and we were raised with him into the newness of life. And this mystical oneness happened. Also, we read in 1 Samuel 18, 3 and 4, how Jonathan made a covenant with David. They cut a covenant. Actually, what they did is that when they cut a covenant, Jonathan gave his robe to David. Like, think about it. Like this really happened when they cut a covenant, that they exchanged robes. So Jonathan gave he was the king's son, his princely robe to David. And this is what happened when the Lord Jesus, when God became a man in Philippians 2, like he came down to the earth and he put on himself humanity. He has received our robe. He has received our robe. In Hebrews 2, he had to become like the children in order that God, the infinite God, would be able to die for us. He had to put on himself our robe. And when he went to the cross, he had put on himself the filthy robes of ours. And when we believed on him, he has given us his princely robe, the robe of righteousness. That's in cutting or making a covenant. They exchange robes. Like Isaiah 61:10 says, he has clothed me with garments of salvation. Like we have the garment of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. So as we walk, we have this beautiful robe. When we wake up in the morning, we have like the princely robe of righteousness. And, you know, it does seem to me sometimes like, okay, it's a robe. It's something like outer, but inside I'm not always like that. But actually, you know, it did happen in our spirit. You know, justification, righteousness came into our spirit. That's the deepest part of our life, really. And all the other thing is like more on the surface, but the deepest reality, the deepest nature of the believer is the divine nature, the righteous nature of Jesus Christ. Galatians 3 says 27, for as many as you were baptized in Christ, you have put on Christ. You know, that's the robe. He is the robe. So then he explains, you know, for you are no longer, I don't know exactly, you're no longer Jew or Gentile or slave and free or man and women, but you're all one in Christ Jesus. That's covenant. We are all one. We are one with him and we are one with each other. And our name is Jesus Christ. We are all one in Christ Jesus. Then, you know, Jonathan gave David not only the robe, but his sword. And that's what happened when they made a covenant. They exchanged sword, you know, the covenant partner. And that means that I will be your defender. You know, when someone attacks one of the covenant parties, then his covenant partner would go to defend him when he's attacked. He would go and defend him. Like Genesis 15:1, the Lord said to Abraham that I am your, fear not Abraham, because I am your shield. The Lord is our shield and he is our protection. That's what the sword means. Actually, this is a beautiful reality. That means because we are in covenant with him, he is our protector. He will fight our battles. The Lord will fight for us in every situation. We don't need to defend ourselves. We don't need to back off because the Lord will fight for us. The battle belongs to the Lord. Exodus 14:14. You know, the Lord will fight for us. That's such a luxury, isn't it? Like to walk through life and know that the Lord is committed to us and he will fight our battles, let it be financial or health or ministry or whatever part of our, you know, big battles, small battles, you know, things that look, we don't think they are such big, but the Lord is fighting for us. He is defending us. He is actually working for us. I think this is what, like David said, the Lord will do what concerns me. Like David understood that the Lord will, he has called him and he will do it. And that's what 1 Thessalonians 5:24 means. Faithful is he who has called you, and He will do it. He will do it because He is our covenant partner. That's why Romans 12:19 says that, beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to the wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. And, you know, the Christians, first century, second century, first century, really took it so much that it's they did it like this, exactly. Like, I guess, I'm not sure, it was like Polycarp maybe, you know, when they came for him, the soldiers, to take him, he said that he went with them, but first he took and he gave them food and gave them to drink. It was really, he was caring for them, because we shouldn't fight for us. That, he says, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. And because he gave us his sword. You know, and also we see this in Acts 9:4. It says, when the Lord Jesus appeared to Saul, he said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Like, Saul was persecuting the Christians, but the Lord says, you're persecuting me because I am one with them. They are my covenant partner. We are one. I'm one with them. So closing, you know, we have the robe, we have the sword, and really the covenant unity, like these expressions in our Bibles, like we are in Him and He is in us. That's covenant expressions. That's covenant talk. That's what covenant means. That's covenant realities. Everything that God has is ours, because that's what happened in the covenant, that whatever one party had, the other had that resource also. And whatever we have, you know, that's small, but whatever we have is the Lord's. It's, we are one with Him. So just to finish, if you remember, Luke 15 is, you know, when the prodigal son comes home and he is all dirty and he has sinned and, you know, he smells bad and he has, you know, dirty clothes, and his father sees him afar off. And then his heart is moves with compassion. And then his father runs to him, you know, and in, I guess in Syria, they read this story to a family, and they asked them, like, what was the strangest thing in this story? And this family said that the father was running. So the father is running to his son, and then he father falls on and hugs him and kisses him. Actually, I guess the Greek says kisses him with many kisses. Actually, plural. The kiss is plural. Like, he's just kissing his son. And then as they go and return home, what's the first thing what the father says? Bring him the bat, well, fatted calf. Yeah, well, some of us are hungry, so. So bring him, yeah, that comes too. Bring him the best robe. The best robe. It's covenant time. Give him the best robe. And they give him the best robe. And as they go into the village, people don't see that, you know, ugliness and shame. But they see honor. And they see dignity. And they see cleanness and beauty. Because got the best robe. And then, you know, give him the ring. It's covenant time. And then ring on his hand. And give him the sandals on his feet. And then bring the fatted calf. Yes, bring the fatted calf. You know, and that's, you know, as we learned it, it's like definite article. That's like the father was, you know, preparing or keeping it for his birthday. And he's bringing the fatted calf. And you know what's this? when they made a covenant, when they made it, there was always a feast after it. You know, like Jacob and Laban had a covenant and they had a feast. So this is like a covenant feast, a covenant festival. And actually when we take the Lord's Supper, this is like a covenant feast as we remember the covenant, as we celebrate together. And they were, and the father said, you know, let us eat and marry. And they began to be merry. And, there is so, that covenant feast is so good. And as we are here at the convention, this is like a covenant feast, I believe, right? This is like we are feasting and there are, you know, pleasures and joy and fatted calf. And it's a festival. It's a celebration. We are celebrating the covenant that God has made with us. Amen. Amen.
So, well, good messages, huh? The first one, Pastor Chris Harmon, and Ground to Powder, where we fall on the rock and we're broken. Which do you choose? You know, grind me to powder. You know, I fight against God. Who's going to win? God's going to win. Somebody's going to be powder. It's not going to be him. Okay, so that. Thank you. Awesome. Then we had Pastor Mihal. I think we've got a few words for that we're going to, you know, we're going to remember. Not the details. We got gas, mud. We noticed it was water. Then as the message went on, it was mud. Then he went to gas. Then we're not going into the details. Did you notice that? He kept us from that. So, I got something out of that message. I mean, I'm going to carry it and think about it. I got a little diagram too in my mind about it. It was like very, very good message. Thank you. And then this, Pastor Chaba's message. Wow. That's a whole class, isn't it? There's a lot in there. Wow. That was good. Covenant. Park there for a minute. You take 1 minute, go over the last message in your mind, and then we'll have a little fun here before we finish. So just with your neighbor, Pastor Chaba's message. Okay. Here we go. A couple things. Last night we had a gentleman over here raise his hand from Broad Auburn, right? Is he with us here? Did you raise your hand for, okay. We want to welcome you into the family. There he is. You did it. That's amazing. And what is your name, sir? Pardon? Michael. Is it Michael? All right. So, Michael, you are born again. You're God's child. We love you. God loves you. We welcome you into the family. Mark it down. The day happened last night. And we're so happy for that. Great decision. Michael, beautiful. Amazing. I wanted to thank Corrine and Pastor Texier and Pastor Philippe for writing the psychology book called As Your Soul Prospers. So do you mind if you would just stand? I just want to say thank you. These three people. Yeah. So they, you know, Corrine was here in Bible college, took our class on Bible psychology, took the notes, decided it would be put into a book, and they worked on it. They put my name on it. Hallelujah. I'm really thankful for that. But I mean, they really worked and organized it, and they did a great job. Thank you very much. And that book is for sale in the bookstore, maybe. Yeah, it is it? The book is for sale. Yeah, so there's one right there. Okay. Then I wanted to just recognize a class of 92. Is Donnie Fisher here? Oh, look at the timing of that. I didn't even know it. Come on up. Anybody from the class of 1992, come on up on the stage. We're going to see the greatest class. Can you come up, Donnie? What? Oh, amazing. 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 Wow. Whoa. Whoa. Wow. Amazing. Which one of you want to be the spokesman for the class? Hey, there's only one Donnie Fisher. But I just had a thought about it, because Donnie Fisher's been saying class of 92 was an amazing class. And is Pastor Carl also? Pastor Carl? You okay? I'll give you the microphone in a minute. All right, so this is what I was thinking. Okay, think about what happened in 1987. Okay, 1987, we left Lenox, we came down to Baltimore, and we started Bible college again, a new Bible college, Maryland Bible College, a seminary. Guys, we just had a big trial up in Massachusetts, but we just kept going. And basically, you know, if you count from 1988, it's 4 years, it's 1992. Look at what God did. Huh? Oh, great. I mean, I actually think that God brought people. God said, I'm with you. I got my hand on people. And you teach them, and we're going to keep going. And we're just going to keep going and keep going. You know what the lesson is? Don't quit. If you got something, if God's doing it, keep doing it. Doesn't matter if you got a building or not. You do what God's called you to do. And I do think that this is a beautiful class, though I wasn't in this one. And many of us weren't, apparently. Yeah, but all of our classes are great. But I do want to say, it's a testimony, I think. Like, not to quit, even if you have real setbacks and real troubles, guys, if God's called you. So, do you want to say a few words, Pastor?
So who else? Well, Pastor Carl, Susie was in this class. Dan Murray, who is deceased. Kathy Fatora was also. Kathy Lavoie, I'm sorry. And Scott Marcouche. Dan Murray, so there's three, Pastor Moses, Pastor DeVries is right there. But if we could say, if you could imagine, like, our fellowship in those hallways over there, it was unbelievable the way God was moving in our lives. And we couldn't believe where God was taking us. And Pastor Carl Silva, he was snatched out of our class, but he graduated with us. But he was an amazing example. We had international students, but the activity of the Holy Spirit in those hallways was phenomenal. And in those classes, the quickening, you know, Pastor Barry ran into the back of a truck coming down 895. He was so tired going to class. But, you know, we were quickened because we were working, doing everything we could. But God did miracles in our lives. And we're so thankful for Maryland Bible College and Seminary. Over there, that's the Bible school. Well, no, we weren't the... It started, some of these guys took classes in Bel Air Road. But the majority of our classes were actually right, you know, at the end, they were right here. That's...
Yeah, I almost forgot that I was part of that class, but obviously I was. Because he's reminding me all the time, you know.
You can't talk if you forget.
I can't. Oh, sorry about that. Yeah. Yeah, and we are having a party tomorrow, aren't we? Yeah, reunion. That's right, yeah. Do you have veggie burgers?
I'll bring some.
You bring some? Okay, good. Yeah, that's all.
Yeah, I think it's an amazing story, too, how we all have a book that God is writing in our life. And I like to think of it this way, that the final chapter hasn't been written yet, and we're always going on the move to the next place of faith and trusting God. And when you look back at the history of standing here and what God did in each person's life, each book would be a phenomenal message of the redemption of Christ and what he's doing. And what a privilege it is to be in this church. And I also love the statement that was said by our pastor in China, never leave this church. Like, it is so true. It's just so true. So,
92, baby.
Actually, I wasn't in that class. I'm up here representing my dad, who was in that class. Yeah.
We were in that class in Africa. And Pastor Cassivin was the one who came down to Africa to ordain us. We were the only people he ordained in Africa.
That day was just like a Christmas, you know. When he laid hand on us. And I still remember him when he told us, don't quit.
Okay, thank you.
You could stay here if you want to. What? No, okay, thank you so much. Did you want to, you're good? Pastor Clyde? Pastor Clyde?
Hi. I remember Pastor Stephen said, in my first day in Bible college, he said, the greatest decision that a person can make is to be saved. And the second best decision is to be in Bible college. And that stuck with me. And God gave this class an amazing vision for the world. And I am so blessed to be part of, to be in this ministry. And like the Chinese pastor said, by the grace of God, I will never leave this church. Amen.
Okay. Just a couple names here. Let's see. Pastor Jim Lewis and his wife, I just want everybody to know you. Pastor Jim, you want to just stand for a minute? Okay, Pastor Rick LeClaire. Yeah, there we go. Beautiful. Thank you. I just want everybody to know, you know, that you're the in Peabody. So the pastor there, Pastor Rick LeClaire, retired, but he's going on in evangelism and ministry. But the people that are from that church are now being pastored by Pastor Lewis. Would Pastor Jack Wheatley like to stand up for a second? Pastor Jack, okay. There he is. Great. In Chicago, or Elgin. We have a few minutes. You want to come up for a minute and just say something? Then we got Doug Womble back here, who's the guy, the youth leader in Marlboro. Do you want to come up for a second? Come on up. Leave your guns at the seat, but come on up. Come on up. Leave the ammunition over. Okay. Then, let's see, Pastor Jim and Pastor Doug Womble, Pastor Lewis. Pastor Lewis, did you want to say a word or no? Yeah, come on up. Then how about Pastor Bob Schwartz in Cincinnati? You want to come up for a second, Pastor? And how about Pastor Paul Poe? Pastor Poe from Alexandria, Kentucky. Do they wear shoes in Kentucky? Yeah, they do. There they go. He's got shoes on. All right. So, these are really awesome guys. So we just want to give them a chance to say a shout out to us, whatever you want to say, how we can pray for you or whatever. Okay. Here we go.
Okay. Be ready. Always, right? Just saying things are good in Marlboro. We're having a great time. It's a great transition. God is with us. God is really leading us. Pastor Bailey's doing a phenomenal job. And if you saw the girls that sang, it took me a lot of years to work with them to get them to that point. But I walked in here last night, and just the thought that I had was, how many people walk through life with a limp that is a wound from the world and have no power? Yet we can be touched with God and walk with an incredible limp of power, right? Just, there's our options.
Oh, God bless everyone. It's good to be here. We've been in the ministry for many years. I started basically with Pastor Palmer way back. But coming here last night was like, I know I'm bigger than this, but you know those little birds in the nest with their mouths open? Wanting food? That's what I was like, me and my wife coming down here. That's what we're like. We can't get enough of the food that's being fed to us. Every single message is phenomenal, and it's just a blessing for us to be here. Thank you.
All right. It's amazing just to look out and to see all the faces. Nicole and I and our little crew have been out in Elgin for a couple of years now, and we were in Baltimore for a decade. Just the love. We're there because we want to bring what's here out there. And it's happening in such a way, and it's magnificent to see that he is organizing and making his work known. And to be the vessel that he has chosen is a great honor. And I love what was shared this whole week, that we are built on the rock, and that as we're pressed together, all of us, into an expression. I'd love to be in so many places, but I can only be at one place at one time. And while I'm there, I want to be with the one who loved me and gave himself for me. So we've got great things happening in Elgin. Great, great things. He is doing a great work. I'll be walking with the mayor of Elgin. We'll be on a great walk, and then we'll invite everybody to Wednesday night service. So it's amazing to do that. We've got a fun fest coming up and just really building up the body in Greater Grace Community Church of Elgin. So pray for us. We'll pray for you, and we'll just see what happens and then in the coming months. Amen? Thank you.
All right. It's really, really amazing to be here. We missed last year, so it's been 2 years for us. And just the love that we feel, the friendship, just overwhelmed, plus the amazing messages that just encourage us. And by the way, all of us, I think, need to be built up, right? We all have challenges. And I would just say one thing related to the ministry that really just causes me and I think our ministry to continue. And that is that people come in broken. People come in hurting. And it's amazing. You don't know how it happens, but you just preach. And over a period of time, people's lives are changed. And that's what it's really all about, I believe, is people's lives being changed and having victory in life and restoring the peace and the joy to their lives. So, you know, God is doing amazing things in this last time, and I'm thankful to be part of that. So, and I'm thankful for all of you, really, for your support for us in this effort. Praise the Lord. Amen.
It's very good to be here, and I did want to take this opportunity to say hello to my wife, who couldn't be here, and I know she's watching, but it's so wonderful to come and to meet with the people here. And I think of Pastor Sleva, Pastor Jason Moore, and they always say, we're praying for you. And that means so much to us out in the ministry, especially the amateurs like myself or novices. But we are so blessed. We've been so blessed in the ministry in Kentucky. And the Lord has blessed us with a precious fellowship there. Fellowshipping with Pastor Schwartz in Cincinnati, the Lord has given us fellowship with other churches, and it's just been a real blessed time. So continue to pray for us. We really covet your prayers. And like to thank the Lord for shoes, too. Yes, definitely come and visit us. Anyone who wants to come to the to see the Ark Encounter or the Creation Museum, 30 minutes from our church, come down, visit our church, and make a vacation of it. Stay long enough to visit both places. I can say both of them. You'll be very blessed by visiting both of those two places. God bless.